Tigers going for a sweep against the Giants today, 110. AJ joining us. AJ, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good. We're marveling at how you guys always seem to be a step or two ahead. The Vierling injury, but then Perez steps up and hits a home run right away. This team's ability to be resilient, I continue to point to that as a highlight of this team. How does that come about?
Oh, that's a good question, because I'm impressed by our guys just resetting and taking whatever that challenge is that day. So we have good players. We have good depth. We've needed it. We don't even feel at full strength, which is a good feeling. But, man, our guys really do take whatever that day is going to bring and deal with it. I mean, we don't pout. We don't complain. We don't have, kind of a wide range of attitudes or stress, and we'll deal with it. I mean, listen, we didn't play well in the Cleveland series. Reset, get back to square one a little bit, and here we are looking for a sweep.
What was the mindset of the team after those first three games in Cleveland? You mentioned it wasn't a great series, but obviously we know the Scooble performance. How do you look at this team, and how do you evaluate them and get them back on track? Or is that something that these guys take care of themselves?
Well, I mean, we're handing the ball to Scooble, so how'd you feel coming into work that day? We feel pretty good, you know? So that, you don't want to put it all on him, but it is nice when that type of stuff is going on in a couple close games, and then, they beat us by a pretty big margin on a game that felt like it was closer than it was, and now we hand the ball to Tarik Skubal, and you're like, wake up, it's 11:30 in the morning, Tarik's throwing 100, which turned out to be light, by the time the game ended. So it's, I think our guys, kind of understand, what it takes to run the race. Like I think the experience last September and August did show us, it's a daily grind and then figure it out the next day. And that physically, I think our guys are, getting better and better, but we weren't in a great place. Mentally, obviously, it's a beatdown when you get beat in division. But then Tarik Skubal is like, hey, boys, get on my back and I'll rule today. And he did.
I'd love to hear your thoughts on getting up and playing an 11:30 start. A lot of times we see one, rarely do we see noon, and almost never do we see 11:30. Your thoughts on that early start?
I hate it. I mean, I hate it for the players. I mean, I'm fine. Like, I'm 50. So I'm like, I get up and get coffee and I get going. So but I hate it for our players. One of the cool things about our team getting a little bit more exposure and a little bit more attention, we get the Fox game on Saturday night. Happens to be the latest night game at 7:15 that we play, and we get rewarded with the national game on Roku at 11:35. So I don't love it physically for the players. I mean, obviously their side didn't love facing Skubal in the morning, but I understand kind of why the league is doing it. It's not great, but it's part of our schedule and we'll deal with it.
Talking to Tiger manager AJ Hinch this morning. Bob Melvin gets tossed yesterday. You didn't get tossed on Monday, but the same thing was, arguing balls and strikes. Are you in favor of this system people are talking about where you could challenge the call on a ball or strike?
Well, I think that's what the ABS is built for. If we ever get it up to this level, it's plays like that where, Javi gets a tough call. It's borderline. It's a big breaking ball. Like, you can kind of see, if you didn't have the box on the TV, you would see how close it is. But that's what it's meant for, is like, instead we'd have a guy on first base. We wouldn't lose a player, potentially lose a manager. You have a bunch of arguments back and forth. And the same thing kind of goes on the other side. We were the beneficiary of some tough calls and then Bob gets ejected. So I think that's why we're trending towards the ABS, is to correct the calls, just so that the real stuff that happens on the field is not through interpretation. It's actually a ball is a ball and a strike is a strike. But it's, I think that's exhibit A for why the conversation is going on and why the sport is trying to evolve with the times. Is like, we talk about Skubal throwing 102.6. I don't know that everybody understands how fast that is for a player to react, for an umpire to react. The umpire doesn't know what's coming. So I think umpiring is getting harder and harder with the pitch shapes and the velo spike, and the ABS is on its way, and I'm sure that can be used as an example why.
in the offseason and as we get into the regular season, we in the media, and I know fans, we tend to talk more about individuals that didn't end up in Detroit. But a couple of guys that did, Gleyber Torres has had a great impact. Tommy Kahnle has had a great impact. We didn't highlight those necessarily as much as maybe we should have in the offseason. Do you and Scott Harris ever sit there and go, we tried to tell the fans?
Well, no, I want to ask you, why don't you talk about the guys that are here? You get to choose your show. Talk about our guys, you know? I mean, I'm poking fun at you guys because it's hard because, like, there's a lot of attention on what doesn't happen, and there are some under-the-radar things that do happen. And obviously, sometimes, you know, fans, media, everybody needs to see it before it really comes true. Like, Tommy Kahnle has gotten soft contact, swing and miss, and has been pitching in leverage roles for a pretty long time. Gleyber Torres played on a World Series caliber team in the toughest market imaginable and led off for that group. Probably loved hitting in front of Judge. But, there was a lot of good that came out of this winter, some of it being maturation of our young guys. But that's just sort of the state of baseball and the off season and who wins the off season. Like, I don't really care who wins the off season. I care who wins the Central, and I care who wins the league. And that's kind of what you gear towards when you're putting a team together, even if it's not as glorified as it could be.
Yeah, I think part of it is we're always gluttons. We always want more. But AJ, I think you guys have put more than enough on our plates with a 36-20 start. I want to circle back to Vierling. Just your level of concern with that injury, setback. I don't know if surgery is necessary. Just could you update people on concern level with Vierling's injury?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard putting levels on it. I mean, obviously, we were really excited when he came back, and he came back and got a base hit, a big base hit down the right field line. He got a big base hit up the middle when I brought him off the bench. And he reported soreness, which the concern is because it's, you know, recurring. It's the same shoulder. It's a similar issue. And we've got to get him checked out. And we're at the point of the season where, as you see, like last night, I only played 9 position players, believe it or not. I didn't even use anybody off the bench, which, you know, want a little bit of love for that. But I think it's, you know, one of those things that we have to do a wait and see. I don't know what it means. And so when it's hard, I get right when Vierling reports that he's injured. Now we go through this battery of tests. The next day I'm asked, like, what does it mean? What's, you know, is there surgery? Is it massive time? Is it short time? Like, whoa, I have no idea. You know, so we need to get him assessed and we'll try to sprinkle it out there. I don't love putting a guy back on the injured list for the same injury, but I also don't know that it isn't anything more than a bump in the road. We'll see.
Any update on Parker Meadows since we're talking about injuries at this point?
Well, I love the 3 hits last night. You know, he's starting to get his volume built up. You know, I think he played 7 innings in center field. He's going to DH today. He draws the 11 a.m. minor league AAA game. Players love that in general. Players on rehab maybe are so mad when they get stuck in those games. But he's doing really well. It's just really volume right now. He's feeling good. He's making throws. He's swinging the bat very, very well in AAA. We've got to get him to 9 innings. He'll be off tomorrow. He'll play 9 innings maybe a couple times over the weekend, and then we'll continue to assess. The big number is 9 innings, repeating it and coming good out of it. So I don't know if it's next week. We have about, I think, 10 or 11 days left where he could rehab if we want him to. But, you know, 3 hits, you start to get close to 9 innings. You start to wonder, you know, if you can start to pinpoint a date that he can come back.
AJ, we had John Morosi on last week, you know, national perspective on this team, and we asked him, how many All-Stars? And he goes, I don't know, it could be 5 or more All-Stars from this team. The voting's going to start in early June. You guys should get multiple players. Is there someone you want to stump for before the voting starts?
Man, I mean, I love how you called Morosi a national. Like, he's pro-Tiger, he's Michigan, he's Ann Arbor. He definitely has a national profile, but I do, it made me laugh a little bit. You know, I think Dylan Dingler deserves a lot of credit for what he's actually done. And I know there, you know, he's not the biggest name. He didn't even come into the season expecting to play as much as he did, or people didn't expect it. I thought it'd be a timeshare. He's grabbed a little bit of that opportunity. Obviously, Jake Rogers is really good, but Jake is catching today, and I got to get him incorporated. But Dylan, behind the plate, is a pretty good difference maker, and he's not going to get the love that, you know, Riley Green and Tarik Skubal and and Glaber and sort of more recognizable names, but Dylan's starting to establish himself as a very stable part of a good team. And you can't look at the pitching staff without looking at the catcher.
So on the heels of that conversation, how do you work the rotation behind the plate with Jake, who last year caught every game that Tarek Skubal threw, but we just saw Dylan Dygler catch a great performance on Sunday.
The best start of his career, yeah.
How do you manage that rotation?
Well, the Tarek part is easy because Tarek, you know, doesn't change his performance based on the catcher. Tarek's really good. So every pitcher is good with every catcher that we have. My goal is to get Jake into every series right now. So we had, you know, two games so far with San Francisco. Jake's going to catch today. We go to Kansas City. Ding's going to catch probably Friday and Saturday. I'll get Jake in on Sunday. And it's just going to be two on, one off, three on, one off until further notice. And I told Jake, like, listen, it's right now, it's a pretty hot hand, and he's doing a very, very good job. And Jake kind of laughed at me. He's like, just look at the scoreboard. Like, you can tell, like, he's doing really well. So everybody understands, and I'll work Jake in to where it's a tick of a timeshare, but Ding's earned the right to catch, let's call it two or three in a row, and then I'll get Jake in there. I don't want players in general not playing for a full series. If you want guys to be good when you need them, and we need our guys a lot, playing every series or getting a plate appearance or getting out on the field defensively, we're a sport built on timing and rhythm, and you need to play to do that.
Is that sense of the awareness for Jake Rogers? Just look at the scoreboard. And it sounds like, hey, he understands it's all about winning, and it's somewhat of an unselfish take. We've seen it from Javi Baez. Yeah, I'll play center. I'll play third. I'll play short.
Cole Keith, hey, move me wherever you need me.
Is that somewhat unique to this team in your experience?
I think the number of guys who are all bought in and willing to do whatever any given day is unique. You know, obviously there are a ton of players around the league that play these roles, or they're uncertain of what their situation is. We try to do our best to communicate to it, but you can't do it without the character of the player. Like, the players really do care about each other. They care about winning. They care about, you know, contributing. And some days it's a lot. Some days it's not. You know, I know that everybody wants to play, but, you know, when you see this team, you know, succeeding, and you see that, you know, the reality is I do play, you know, 10 to 12 players a night, position player wise. I have closed, I think, three or four pitchers this year. Like, those guys know that their turn's going to come. It just might not be today. And I do appreciate that as a manager. It allows me to make a ton of decisions with no sort of cloud hanging over any of them, because I know the players are all in. And Jake's a great example of that, because this is a guy who caught every inning of the playoffs last year in both the Houston series and the Cleveland series. And now he looks up. He's playing once a series and supporting Dylan, you know, as he's breaking in.
Just to tie a bow on that, I wonder, how far ahead do you plan some of your lineups? Because I know it's very much at bat, by at bat, who's the reliever, the matchups. But you mentioned, hey, catcher, I want to be strategic. I want to get everybody in. Are you 2-3 days out? How far in advance do you map some of this?
Yeah. I'm about a series ahead, you know, looking at and sometimes, like, if you break guys into buckets, there are a ton of guys that have those roles you're talking about, but we actually have a lot more everyday players than people think, right? Glaber plays every day. Torque plays every day. Cart plays every day. Riley plays every day. You know, McKinstry plays virtually every day somewhere. And so I look for days. Like, Torque's not going to play today. That was decided before last series. Even if we had split the first two series, it's not a great matchup with Roop. It's a day before a day off, which is always the best day off for a player to reset. We're going into Kansas City, where he loves to hit. He's performed incredibly well. A fresh Torque going into the Kansas City series was the target. Matched up with, I didn't love the matchup pitching-wise against Torque, and then obviously getting Colt in there and being able to DH Riley today in a day game, everybody wins. So I'm about a series ahead looking at things like that, and then I'll audible. You know, I don't always go with exactly what I put forward for the Kansas City series. I'll pay attention to how guys are doing. Javi was playing third even before he got ejected and got to hang out with Phil Cousy. at third base. But things like that, I'm always sort of tweaking it. But I, the general shell of the lineup, I'm about a series ahead.
You got a good sense of humor putting him over at third base.
Yeah, you know, I just wanted to make sure, like, I joked, you know, he joked with me the night before I sent the lineup out. His kids come in and hit and do stuff after the game. It's so fun to watch him be a dad after games. And he pops by my office and he's like, let me guess, third base tomorrow? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, no way. And I was like, yeah. So everybody knew going into the day. And eyes were on Javi. And I think it gave him a little bit of the cold shoulder, which makes me love Javi even more.
AJ, we love having you on. Good stuff. We'll talk soon.
All right. Take care. We'll see you.
Tiger manager AJ Hinch, it's 97.1.